Simchas should keep on flowing.
Amen.
Last week we began a topic and we also began a perspective. Number one, last week we began to shift from the focus on the food to begin to think about the bishul. I talk about the shalakim, so we're looking at which foods, and we're looking also at what sort of maisa bishul qualifies for bishulakim. And we're going to be continuing that focus on what type of maisa bishul in today's sugya of kavana, and then moving forward in terms of bishul Yisrael v'nachri, how much Jewish involvement do you need in order to render it mutter. So that we already began that focus, a shift from the, if you like, the focus on what's a valid chefza, what's a valid, which macholim are bishul akum vulnerable, to what sort of maisa bishul can create bishul akum. So we already began that last week in thinking about who, the question of shvachos, and also thinking about the context of for what purpose. For whom was it cooked? The Ra'az Kul, the Ramad quote in Sif Tezayin, that if it was Nachri, it was Mevashal L'chol Hashem B'Sakana B'Shabbos, maybe that also should be Mutter. And then also we began to explore a continued question. We continued to explore. Last week, we continued to explore something that came up two chaburos ago, and that was a question of tam ki'ikar. The Tosas and Beit Sed already raised in terms of thinking about the panada. So you have the empanada with the it's dough that's wrapped around the filling. The filling is going to be a bishul akum problem. Does it give flavor to the dough, yes. Does that mean, therefore, that the dough is problematic? So that some of the Tosas assumed yes. Tosas and Masechus Beitzer presented a machlokas. If you scrape the surface residue, does the dough, is the dough still aser because of tam ke'ikar or not? So that we saw came up, we got back into last week as well, because not only were Sif Dalet and Sif Tazayin shifting our focus to the Maisa Bishul from the Michael, but also introduced us to this major Machlokas Rajba and Ra'ah that's going to continue to reverberate. And that's the question of, to what extent does the Tam of the Iser drive the definitions of the Iser? Should we say, as the Rajba seems to say, that the Bishul Akam is like most Dinei Rabbanan, so lo plug? We had seen that some machlokas are shown about the what's the underlying chashash for which they're misakin bishul akum. We most rishonim assume that's chasnas, tosas, the Rambam, sometimes Rashi. But even if it's, and the Rashba and the Ra'ah also both assume that the rationale is chasnas. But the Rashba said the rationale was chasnas, the concern was chasnas, the motivation was chasnas. But that's irrelevant to the application of the din. That's irrelevant to the Hagdar of the din, lo plug rabbanon. And the Ra'ah had at great length said, no, plug rabbanon, that it, that many, we already saw a number of nafkaminas last week in chasnas in terms of the Hagdar of Bishul Akum, specifically lefi the Ra'ah and lefi the Rabbein Avram in Tosas. And that's the background of Chola. Mevashal L'chol B'Shabbos, that's the background according to two of the four approaches to the Heter Shvachos. And as the Rod pointed out, that is the issue that's driving, perhaps it's driving the Machlokas and Tosas and Beitza, but whether we're worried about Tam Ke'ikar or not. The Rod said, if you say that it's just a regular low plug, a regular din rabban, Chazal created machal sosurus mishabban, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. The Rajba says, Tom Kirker, absolutely. The tray for food. Bishul Akum is now mishabban and tray for food. So if it gives flavor to other food, you got to throw out everything. If it gives flavor to a kli, you have to kasher the kli. If you don't kasher the kli, that may make the next food with which that kli is used also. It's going to pick up the flavor and it'll be treif as well. But if you say, like the Ra'az, that the concern actually shapes the Gidrei Ha'iser, this is an exception to the usual rule of Lo Plug Rabbanon, the Ra'az says, and there's no concern of chasnas on tam. There's a concern of chasnas. You have a piece of a steak that's Olal Shulchan Lachem. As the Rambam explained, Olal Shulchan Lachem, there's a real concern of it's going to drive chasnas. It's socially significant. There's no social significance to the flavor, the bits of flavor that they're nivlant to the kli, bits of flavor that are nivlant to the dough. That's not a concern of chasnas. So I wanted just to wrap up. We had left a few hanging threads, halacha l'maisa, in terms of the discussion of tam kikka. They're very important, relevant halacha l'maisa. And then I want to get into the next sugya, the sugya of kavana, which both continues the focus on the maisa bishul, and also, as Ra'ah had framed it, as another reflection of the chashash of chasnus limiting the application of bishulakim. So first let's take a look at the tam kikka discussion. Again, so that had come up, among other places, in Se'if Tes Zayin. Se'if Tes Zayin, the Ramah, had discussed chole. The Mechaber was discussing kelim. Obviously, what ties them together is that both are nafkaminas in this chakira. Whether bishulakim is a regular chepzah machalos asuras midrabanan, or whether it's Isser Gavra went not to eat in a way that's going to drive a concern of chasnas. So the Mechaber quotes in Sif Tezayin, Kelim shebishul behem ha'akam lefaneinu dvarim sheish behem bishul le'akam. Tzrichen hechsher v'yesh omrim ein tzrichen hechsher. That's a machlokas Rash Bara'ah, it's a machlokas two days in Taisus and Beitza. Do you have to kasher the kelim or not? And this is often the most significant concern b'diavad in a home context. That's what we left off last time. You have a bishulakim mishap in the kitchen. There was a nachris who was trying to be helpful and surprised you with the omelet for your birthday, which is very sweet. Unfortunately, the omelet is a bishulakim problem. And now the question is, the omelet is a bishulakim problem. Okay, that's a couple of dollars. That's right. You know, we can make a new omelet. Question is, do I have to kasher the kelim? And kasher the kelim, you may have to do some detective work to figure out how many different kelim were implicated, were aiding and abetting in the act of bishulakim. So Mechaber says it's machlokas. So two things. Number one, the Mechaber goes on to two additional points here, above and beyond what we discussed last time. Number one, the Mechaber goes on to add an interesting twist. Even according to the Rashi, Bishul Akim is no different than any other Dindrabanan, it's still different. Even if you do have to kasher, but there is a kula. What's the kula? Normally, the Chumash tells us that normally you cannot kasher cheres. Chumash tells us in Parshas Tzav, in the context of a kli that was boleya, the flavor of a carbon chatas, which right now is wonderful, but tomorrow is going to be nosar. So the Torah tells us that there's a particular way that you kasher the pot if the pot was metal. If the pot, however, is ceramic, if it's a klicheres, then it has to be smashed because there's no way, no typical way to kasher it. That's usually the din. That under normal circumstances, there's no way, no typical way anyways, to kasher cheres. You cannot stick it into boiling hot water the way you'd stick a metal kli or a wooden kli or most other materials into boiling hot water to remove the bliya without getting into the details of hagala. That's not going to work by cheres. But here the Shulchan Aruch says, even if the Rashba, they do have to kasher the kelim. Let's say even if the kli in which you cooked was ceramic, here we're makel, you can kasher by doing a triple hagalas. Dip it into hot, boiling hot water three times, v'dayu. Why? Mimtesh ein le'isser zeh ikar b'doraisa. This isser has no doraisa root. So So that's interesting and at first sort of surprising, because well, one second, I thought the whole point of say the shita that holds that you do need to kasher, so that's the Rashba who says this functions like any other din drabanan. So why all of a sudden say, well, but it's not totally unrelated to Darius, and therefore well. So the Gra explains a little more. The Gra gives you the background. The Gra gives the background at great length. This is consistent with the Rashba. He quotes a Yerushalmi in Trumas. This is a more general rule. In the world of Isurim Drabanan, that we differentiate specifically for this detail of kashering Klei Cheres, this is not just about Bishul Akam. It applies to certain other Drabanans also, which are classified as Ein Lehem Iker Bida Araisa. Even if you hold like the Rashba, that Bishul Akam doesn't depend on the Tam of Chasnus, but the fact remains that it's a lower level Issur Drabanan in the sense that it's not an extension of an Issur D'oraisa. Unlike probably Basar Of B'chalav, Machlokas HaTanam, what's the status of Basar Of B'chalav? So we assume that it is Asur but only Midrabanan. So Alpi Pashas, it's a Drabanan, it's a Yeshul Iker Min HaTorah. It's a Drabanan extension of an Issur D'oraisa. It'll be Basar Behema B'chalav, that's an Issur D'oraisa. Basar Of B'chalav is an Issur Drabanan. So that's a Drabanan extension of an Issur D'oraisa. But the Rishalmi has other examples, and this is one of them. This also fits in this category of a Isser She'ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah. The Gra has a discussion of what are some of the other examples. Maybe certain types of Truma, Drabanan, or Ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah, and so on and so forth. Talks about a couple of different cases. So that's what's going on here. That when you have a lower level Isra Banan, Ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah, it's a lower level Isra Banan because it's not an extension of the Daraisa. So then when Chazal introduced those Yisur Drabanan, they included a caveat, but we're going to allow you to kasher plichares, that was Bolea, this lower level is Drabanan, assuming that you do a triple hashem. As an aside, you can file this away for when if you get at some point into the world of Heksher. What that means, that presumably reflects, is that Haga'ala on Kli Cheres isn't doing nothing. Haga'ala on Kli Cheres is doing something, it's just not adequate. It's obviously removing a lot of the flavor, it's just not removing all of the flavor. So what we're saying is, Chazal said, look, if you're going to remove the vast majority of the flavor, so by a lower level drabanan, well, we'll call it a day. That's adequate to say we're not worried about whatever remains. Okay, so that's number one. That's a detail worth keeping in mind. That even though there is a machlokas, have we shown him whether Tam Ki Iker is a concern or not, specifically whether they have to kasher the kelim. But even the machmirim would say, but when you kasher, you can kasher even cheres. Now, but the larger question is, how do we paskin? The larger question is, how do we paskin? Again, it's a machlokas Rashba Ra'at, it's a machlokas 2 days in Taisus and Beitza. And there are a number of achronim who are makel. For instance, take a look back at Kiveger. Back in Sif Gimel, when the Mechaber had said, you have the panada, or the pashtida, the meat wrapped in dough, so you can't even eat the dough. Nivla bepas. Kiveger says, well, nivla bepas. After batel barov kedelel, and it sends you back to Hilchas Pasakum. He said, one second, this is mutter. It should be mutter. It was. It doesn't require bittul b'shishin. There is no concern of tam ki'ikr. It should be bittul b'rov. Hachagara dehashuma nira v'nikr be'en b'soch hapas. Because here, the shuman is still nikar. That sounds like that day in Taisus and Beitza. That the only concern with the dough is there may be residue visible residue of the fleishik grease, of the bishul akum dikka grease, on the surface of the dough. Kivyeger may be going a step further and pointing out that even if you scrape it, there may still be, if you would look carefully, there may be nuggets of grease that remain. But what Kivyeger is saying is fundamentally there is no concern of tam ke'ikr. And the shach is tricky. Shach is a little tricky. Take a look at the shach back in our sif. In Mispashal Behem Bidyeved, he says, you got to kasher the kelim, but if you didn't kasher the kelim, and you forgot, or whatever it is, Lamaisa, you didn't kasher the kelim, you didn't realize, you didn't know, you didn't care, whatever it is, Lamaisa, you used the kelim without kashering, so the Nachri made scrambled eggs in the frying pan. And then you use the frying pan without kasher. You cleaned it, didn't kasher it. You use the frying pan to make ratatouille, to fry eggplant and tomatoes. So now what's the story with the frying pan? You should have kashered it. You didn't kasher it. So the shach says, well, in the spash of behem b'diavad, if you already use the pan again, if yesh rov b'tapshil, and there's more, the volume of the food that you now made, the ratatouille, the tomatoes and eggplants, is greater than the volume of the pan itself. So it's batel berov, bishul akum batel berov. Okay, so that sounds like it's aligned with the Akiva Eiger, that we are makel like the ra'av. It tells you, look earlier, simen kufi beis, simen kaf, sif cotton rather. The Ramah that the Kivyeger had quoted, I think there was a mistake in Kivyeger, a Tosov from Kivyeger. Ramah was earlier in the Simen Kuf Yud Beis, the Simen about Pasachim, Sif Yud Dalet. The Ramah is quoted, V'chol Makum Shazarva Pas Shal Akum, B'Shar Machal, Pasachim gets mixed with other foods, Batal Barov, Bein Balach, Bein V'Yavich. Okay. And the Shach writes of Kain Chav Gimel, even Bishalakim. He seems to be very comfortable. Yeah, but what do you say? There's something funny going on here.
Yeah, how so? Only if it's possible to grow, but I see you could take a very tiny amount. Also, it's not much of a
Chachila. Right, so what's going on here is interesting. Right, Rabbi Kivyeger sounded like, Rabbi Kivyeger said that you don't apply Tom Kicker, right? And we don't apply Tom Kicker, and we're not worried about the Blias. Assuming it's about the Barov, you're fine. The Shach, so what's the Shach saying? The Shach in Simen Kufi Beis also was saying, yeah, embrace the Ramah, about the Barov, and not only about the Barov by Pasach, and even about the Barov by Bishalach, yeah. But the rope sounds we're making like the Ra. However, what's the Shach saying here? Now, here's what's ironic. The Shach here in Kuf Yud Gimel, here in Sif Tazayin, Kuf Yud Gimel, Sif Katan Chaf Aleph, he references Kidl El, Kuf Yud Beis, Sif Katan Chaf Gimel. But on the other hand, he's assuming it sounds like that you do need to kasher. You need to kasher, but if you didn't kasher, so then the food will be Mutter B'Devet. So which one is it? Are you worried about Tom Kicker? You're not worried about Tom Kicker. What's going on? So which one is it? So Lechora, what the Shach is saying, the truth is, if you leave, I don't think the Shach had a Ritva on Avodah Zarah. I don't think it was in print at the time, but we have a Ritva on Avodah Zarah. You take a look at Ritva on Avodah Zarah, he seems to say the same thing. He quotes Machlokes between his Rabbein, the Rashba and the Ra'a. And he makes a chiluk, which the Shach seems to be driving at also, between the food, blias from food to food, and blias from food into kelim. He says, blias from food into food, like what Rabbi Akiva had been discussing, the blias of the meat into the dough, mutter. Blias of food into the kelim, you should kash it. He says, his Rabbeim argued about both. The Ra'ah held you don't have to kash the kelim either. But the Ritva is making a pshara that the Shach seems to be embracing here too, that we would tell you to kasher the kelim, but if you didn't kasher the kelim, it won't make, just like if the flavor goes straight from the meat filling into the dough, it doesn't make the dough treif. So too, if the flavor goes from the meat or from the eggs into the pan, and then from the pan already went into the second food, we won't make that, we won't throw that food out either. What's the chiluk? Sabi Pashas, the chiluk is that we want to be machmer l'chatchila, but we're willing to make the bidyevet. Meaning, we don't advocate. Which Rama himself, by the way, had said back in Simon Kofi Beis. He says, you shouldn't mix pasakum into other food. You're not supposed to mevatel it. But if it already became batel barov, so mutter. So that seems to be the approach of the Shach also. You shouldn't mix it in lechatchila, either because Eimav Alfei is lechatchila, or because he lechatchila we ought to machmer for the Rashba. We wouldn't tell you, go ahead, you shouldn't choose to rely on the Ra'ah, you shouldn't choose to take Bishalakim Dika food and mix it in with something else, nor should you choose to take Kalim with Blias of Bishalakim and use that Kli without kashering for fresh food. You have an option. What's your option? Don't mix the bishalakim dika food into non-bishalakim dika food. Don't use the kli until you've kashered it. So that's l'chatchila. You still have the option of keeping everything as is. But once you already mix the bishalakim dika food into the other food, or once you already use the kalim a second time, we're not going to tell you to throw the food out. B'di'evet or mekel. Number one, at that point, it's not a ein vata is a chatchila. And we're only machmer for the Rashba. The other way of looking at it, we're only machmer for the Rashba l'chatchila. We're not going to throw food out based on the Rashba. Meaning, mekel didn't hold like the Ra'ah. When possible, we would prefer to machmer for the Rashba. Which, by the way, is interesting, because it means that what emerges from the Shach is... So let's say the Nachra used the frying, like I said, Nachra used the frying pan to make scrambled eggs. Scrambled eggs are bishlakim, scrambled eggs have to, assuming it fits all the other rules of bishlakim, scrambled eggs go in the garbage. If you would have caught it in time, you would have kashered the frying pan, which is not a simple thing. Kashered the frying pan is actually complicated to kasher. You would have kashered the frying pan before using it again. You didn't catch it, and you used the frying pan for the ratatouille. And now you realize, gewalt, I just made ratatouille in a pan that has blias of bishalakim. So here's what's interesting. You can eat the ratatouille, but you got to kasher the pan. The ratatouille is mutter b'dyavad, because the only alternative is to throw it out. Not mechuyav to do that. But the pan, I shouldn't use the pan again. I have the option of not using the pan again until I kasher it. So I have to kasher the pan. I can eat the ratatouille out of the pan, but I shouldn't use the pan again until I kasher. That is al pi pashtus, how we assume la halacha. Okay, now let's turn our attention to Kavana. Now let's turn our attention to Kavana. A very fascinating piece of Gemara, fascinating discussion. Rishonim, there seems to be three discussions in the Rishonim, three major discussions in Rishonim about Kavana. So let's take a look. The Gemara itself has two parts. It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara is sort of initially raises quotes a statement to Rav that they thought had to do with Bishalakim, and then the Gemara comes to the Maskana that Rav is not talking about Bishalakim, but the comment to Rav Yochanan, which is about Bishalakim. Rav has been talking about draining the swamp and toasting the bugs. Rav is not at all mechaving to political issues. Rav was talking about it in the literal sense, not in the metaphorical sense. If a Nachri wants to, drain the swamp, hitzis as ha'ur ba'agam. Different Rishonim translate that in somewhat different ways. So the Nachri wants to drain the swamp or clear the brush out of the swamp. So So he lit a fire to take care of that. It seems like a very brute force way of draining the swamp. And what ended up happening is that there were grasshoppers in the swamp that got toasted as a result of that fire. So the Rav said that those grasshoppers are treif. So the Gemara had a hava mina that it's a bishalakim problem. The Nachri lit a fire and he toasted the grasshoppers. So the Gemara says, no. It's not about bishalakim. It's actually not a bishalakim problem. Why is it aser? It's aser. It's a hilchas hagavim issue. The scenario was that as a result of the toasting, they're so toasted that I can no longer identify whether they're kosher species of chagav or non-kosher species of chagav, and that's why safdar ban lochumra. Since I don't know whether it's a chagav kosher or a chagav asur, so the mele I can't eat it. Al bishalakim it's mutter. Why is it mutter al bishalakim? But the Nachri toasted it. So that's what the Gemara introduces this commentary of Yechanan, and Yechanan is to al bishalakim. Yechanan says that even if you have a food which is bishalakim susceptible, and a Nachri did the entire cooking, he provided all the heat, he did the entire cooking of that food, it's still going to mutter if he did not have kavana levasha. What's Rabbi Yochanan's case? The Nachri takes a geshacht and a chicken and sticks the head near a fire in order to more easily remove the feathers. In doing so, he ends up grilling the tips of the ears. The tips of the ears are very, so he didn't leave it in the fire long enough to cook the chicken, but the tips of the ears are thin and soft, and the tips of the ears got toasted, at least somewhat. Gemara says, Yechon says, you're allowed to eat, and then the Jew later on, after the non-Jew takes care of the feathering, so the Jew takes the chicken and cooks the chicken. So Rabbi Yechon says, the Jew is allowed to cook the chicken, even the tips of the ears that already got toasted by the Nachri, it's not a bishalakim problem. Why? The Gemara understands, because there's no kavana levasho. That's how the Gemara understands Rabbi Yochanan's heter. Lavuri seirka machav, and he was trying to remove the feathers of the chicken, he was trying to remove the hair of the goat, whatever the scenario is, the Nachri wasn't trying to do any cooking whatsoever. No kavan levasho. So Gemara says the same thing here. The Nachri was trying to clear the swamp. He wasn't trying to drain the swamp. He wasn't trying to toast the bugs. The bugs got toasted. That was shlova miskavin. So that's bishul akum shlova miskavin is mutter. So that's this next rule in the world of defining a maisa bishul that can create bishul akum is it has to be kavanas hanachri levasho. And again, so last time, the Ra'ah understands that this is also a nafgamina in the reason why shalobe kavana is mutter is because then the Nachri didn't even intend to cook. So how much of a concern of chasnas can there be? I don't know if the, I'm not sure there's any nafgamina lahalacha in this. I'm not sure that the Rajba and the Ra'ah are going to debate the details of this din, but at least he sees this din that the Gemara has as fitting in to that framework. There are several issues, though, that the Rishonim do debate about this din. The first one flows from a Tosfos. Rashi said, because the Gemara goes on to say, the next piece of the Gemara, the Gufa, the Rabbi Yochanan is the one who tells us this din of Kavana. So Ravina, at the very end of the period of the Amoraim, Ravina says, I'll give you another example. You have a Nachri who lit a fire in the oven in a kiln in order to harden a peg. You have a wooden peg and it's moist wood, so it's usable, but not particularly strong. If you put in the fire, you'll harden it. And then it'll be more usable. So Nachri lit a fire, put the peg in order to bake the peg. Cover by Yisrael Kramekar, but the Jew had already put a some sort of vegetable, a gourd, an acorn squash, an eggplant, some vegetable that's bishul akum sensitive, a vegetable that's not nechel k'mo shulchai. Jew had already put the vegetable in the back of the oven. Nachri bakes the peg in the oven. Doesn't have kavana levashel as ha ochel, So that's mutter. So the Gemara says, what's Ravina's Kaddish? Of course. That's Rabbi Yochanan. I don't need Ravina. It's a Chazar of Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says, no. Yeah, I might have thought this is different. Why? Because what the Nachri was trying to do is process the peg. Maybe processing the peg is a form of bishul. I would have thought that levashulei manakamachavin kamashma not lesharuri manakamachavin. He's not trying to cook the peg; he's trying to harden the peg. What does that mean? So Rashi says. Rashi says he's hardening the peg; he's not cooking it because ain bishul b'kelim. Okay, ain bishul b'kelim. Tosis has a kasha, which the Ritva understands is also a direct attack on Rashi. Tosis doesn't make that point, but the Ritva does. Tosis raises a stira. Tosis says, you look in the Masechta Shabbos, so there's a gemara that seems to be the mamish, the photo negative of our gemara. It's almost eerie. The gemara there is talking about Melechas Bishul, Ayin Dal Mebeis, part of the three blot that follow the famous Mishnah and Gimel Amud Aleph, that has a list of Lamatas Melechas. So over the course of the subsequent three blot, the Gemara comments on many of the Melechas, including some comment on Bishul. Most of Hilchas Bishul are elsewhere in the Masechta. We have a little bit of Bishul in on Daf Ayin Dalet, on that Mishnah. Specifically, interestingly, what the Gemara focuses on there is Bishul on non-food items. The Gemara tells you that you can violate Bishul by softening pitch, softening tar. You can violate, the Rambam goes on to quote more, you can violate Bishul by melting wax. So the Gemara there says, how about a Jew takes a wooden peg and throws it in the oven? The Gemara says, yeah, you violate Bishul. How do you violate Bishul? The Gemara says, I would have thought that you're not chayav for that. Why? I would have thought l'sharuri mana kamachavin. You're just trying to harden it. Kamashmalah. No. L'vashulei mana kamachavin. That's the exact opposite of our Gemara. Our Gemara said, I would have thought l'vashulei kamashmalah is l'sharuri, and that's why it's not kavanas bishul. There the Gemara says, pum fakeh. You are chayav. The Jew does it on Shabbos. You are chayav nishum bishul. I would have thought it's l'sharuri kamashmalah is l'vashulei. It's a mamish. It's the exact opposite of our sugya. So which one is it? Is there a bishul or isn't there a bishul? So the Rishonim there, number one, understand that what's going on is the following. I put that wooden peg in the oven, so it's a two-step process. When it comes out of the oven, it's going to be harder than it was. But that's not what happens right away. Initially, what happens is that it gets soft. It gets soft. That's how the Gemara explains. Rashi explains more. Mirpa Rafi Vahadar Kamet. First it softens, and then it hardens. Rashi explains, first it softens, and then when it softens, it sort of sounds like the pores open and the water can all emerge. And then as it continues to bake in the oven, now that the water is out, it hardens. By the time you're done, it's hard. But initially, at some point, there was a softening. The Gemara seems to assume that Bishul non-food items is defined as softening. As an aside, Rishonim attacked the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchas Perek Test of Hilchas Bishul, Hilchas Shabbos, discusses Bishul. The Rambam understands that Bishul on non-food items is either softening or hardening. Against that Gemara, Pashas the Gemara is that Bishul on non-food items is only softening. That's what the Gemara there is saying. There's an initial stage of softening, and that's how the water emerges, and that's the Chi of Bishul, and then it hardens. So how do you square that with our Gemara? How do you square that with our Gemara? So what does Taisa say? Taisa says, Shabbos and Bishul Akum are obviously not the same thing. How so? So what Tosa says, and the Ritva and the Ran explain more, that Tosa says, look, it's your Mevashel Ketzas, it's a Bishul Garua, it's not a Bishul Gamur. What do you mean? It's a low level, it's a low Shvacha Bishul, it's not a full Bishul. So the Ritva and the Ran explain more. it's not your main kavana. Your main kavana is not to soften the peg. Your main kavana is to harden the peg. There's an intermediate step. It's the way the Rishonim explained. Let's say, look, by Hilchah Shabbos, an intermediate step is enough to be chayiv. That's like psik reishe. We know the din is you're chayiv and psik reishe. You're trying to harden, but in the course of doing that, you end up softening also. So you're trying to harden, but it's going to involve a cooking, a softening as well. So for Hilchah Shabbos, that's the standards of kavana are lower to be chayiv in Shabbos than to create an iser of bishalakim. So the minimal level of kavana that is sekreshe, that's enough to create a chiyav on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. But for bishalakim, it has to be that that's his ikar kavana. That's how the Ran and the Ritva explain this tosis. That's how the Ran and the Ritva explain this tosis. And that is l'chora how we paskin. Now, it should be noted, the Ritva goes on to point out that what emerges from this tosis also is a direct attack on Rashi. What did Rashi say? Rashi said, why are you not chayev for... Well, why is there no bishalakim here? Because ain't bishal b'kelim. There's no bishal on non-food items. What do you mean? But there is bishal on non-food items. That was the whole Gemara in Shabbos. The most fundamental point is that there is bishal... It depends, are you doing hardening or softening? But not that food, non-food items are fundamentally not bishalakim sensitive, and not relevant to bishalakim. So l'chora, what you have to say for Rashi is l'chora, Rashi is assuming that the definition of bishal is different in the context of Shabbos and the context of bishalakim, and that was probably the way Rashi would answer Tosas' kasha. The simplest answer, Tosus Kasha? Over here we said baking a peg is not called bishul. Over there we said baking a peg is called bishul. The simplest teretz is there are different definitions of bishul and bishulakim by Shabbos. Shabbos, as the Rambam presents very elegantly, but it's already beferish in the Gemara, the other Rishonim accept it also. The Rambam says in Paraktes of Hilchah Shabbos, that when you talk about Melechas bishul by Shabbos, there are three different definitions of bishul. There's bishul on food, which is making it edible. There's bishul on water, which is making it hot. And there's bishul on non-food items, which is making it soft. And the Rambam adds, or making it hard. Okay, so in Hilchah Shabbos, we have a much broader definition of bishul. It stands to reason by bishul akim, which is all about food, and drabanan, the definition of bishul is narrower. And maybe it doesn't include non-food items at all. Even in the sense of, was the Nachri's kavana live vashel? So that would have been the easiest answer. It's probably what Rashi is saying. The concept of bishalakim, he has to have kavana to cook meat, to cook food. Cooking cake, cooking non-food items doesn't count as cooking. The concept of bishalakim. Tosis, as is their general shita, wants to assume that no, that the definition, that there's a concept of bishal. Bishal is bishal is bishal. Whether you're talking about Hilchah Shabbos, you're talking about bishalakim. That's why Tosis says, no, Tosis assumes that the two Gemaras are working with the same concept of bishul. Everyone agrees there's a chiluk between Shabbos and bishalakim. Rashi would say the chiluk is in terms of the definition of bishul. Tosis says it's a side point. It's in terms of what degree of kavana are you looking for. That by Hilchah Shabbos, a minimal kavana, a side kavana of psik reish is enough to create a chiyuv for Melechah Shabbos. While for bishalakim, when we say we want kavanas hanachri levashla, means that the ikker kavanas hanachri is levashla. And that is l'chora how we paskin. That is l'chora how we paskin halacha. So it's only going to be bishalakim if it's kavanas hanachri levashel, and not just he meant to do something that as a side point also involves bishal. No. He turned on the fire in order to do bishal. Okay. So that's number one. He has to intend to do bishul. Number two, the Ritva makes a point, which already appears in his Rebbe's Sefer, in the Rajba's Taras Habayis, that yes, the Nachri has to intend to cook, and to mamish cook, not to harden a peg, which incidentally involves some cooking also, but on the other hand, he has to intend to cook, but it doesn't have to be to cook this. If he intends to cook something else, that is good enough. And the Rashi and Ritva both point out that's the clear mashmaos of our Gemara. If processing the peg would have been considered cooking, so then he would be trafing up the vegetable in the back of the oven. Even though he's not trying to cook the vegetable, he's trying to cook the peg. And that's what appears in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. The beginning of the Shulchan Aruch is based on Lashon Rambam, and then the end of the Shulchan Aruch, he's quoting this Rashi Ritva. Let's take a look. Sif, hey, Ove kochav and shabisha v'oskavin lebishul mutter. He cooked, but he didn't have kavanah special mutter. Ketzad. The Rambam of Shulchan Aruch quote the case of the draining the swamp. Akum shehitzes orba agam. Again, the Rambam says k'nei lahavir hechatzir. You want to clear away the brush. Nizbash l'boch agavim. In doing so, he unwittingly cooked grasshoppers. Hare elu mutarim. The grasshoppers are mutter. Afil b'makom sha'ol l'shulchan malachim. Even in a context, even in a culture in which grasshoppers are high class food. The Rambam, I think we discussed this earlier at the very beginning of Hilchos Beis Shalachim. This line is relevant also for the definition of ol l'shulchan malachim, because the Rambam is saying is as tal l'fiyam makom l'fiyam zman. In a society where it's ol l'shulchan malachim, so then it's a problem. A society where it's not ol l'shulchan malachim is not a problem. Again, for several reasons, we don't eat chagavim b'chol, but in societies in which people eat chagavim, and specifically in Jewish societies in which people eat chagavim, so some consider chagavim to be a cheap snack, and others look at chagavim prepared properly as an elegant food. So Rambam says that even if chagavim were to be Bishlachim sensitive because you're in a society, a culture in which they're all shulchum lachim, but these chagavim are mutter. Why? Because the Nachri had no kavanas bishul. Then he quotes Ravina's case as well. Chara harosh lahavra seyer mutter lechol roshi aznaim shnitzum shas charicha. Then the Machaber goes on to quote this expansion of the Isser by the Rashba and the Ritva, and Kivin L'Shem Bishol, Kigon Shehizik HaTan L'Vashalbo, V'Haiba Basar Tchila, V'Nitzla. The Nachri turns the fire because he wants to cook whatever he wants to cook. The Jew had already put a piece of meat in the back, so the Nachri had no idea that the Jew has a piece of meat in there. It's Aser. Afa Pishol Kivin L'Zeh Basar Yadabo. The non-Jews don't even know the meat's there. It doesn't matter. He's definitely not trying to cook that piece of meat. It doesn't matter. He was intending to cook his eggplant, and kavana l'shum bishul is a problem. Okay, as an additional note, Chelkas Ben Yonamin does have an interesting machlokas, Orcha Shulcha Avni Nezer. How far do you go with this? The Nachri doesn't have to have kavan. This again, point number one was a question of how that fits with Hilchos Shabbos, Machlokas Rashi and Tosis. How does this fit with the Masechta Shabbos? And again, the point of Tosfos that it needs to be not just he had a side kavan; it has to be his ikar kavan as a Nachri was lebishul. On the other hand, point number two, Rashi Ritva, ikar kavan as a Nachri has to be for some bishul, but not for bishul on my food, even bishul on his food. Chelkas Ben Yonamin quotes a machlokas in the second point. Chelkas Aruch HaShulchan Avnei Nezer. How about the Nachri? I left my food in the back of the oven. Nachri turns on the fire in order to cook his food. He never ended up putting his food in. He never ended up cooking. So I think the Aruch HaShulchan says, how can you call that kavan as a Nachri l'bishul? The Nachri didn't do any bishul. I think most Achronim assume like the Avnei Nezer. I don't care what the Nachri. He turned on the fire with kavana to do bishul with it. I don't care whether Nachri actually did bishul or not. I care whether Nachri is kavan. Okay. But now let's move to the most halacha lemaisa aspect of this. That is the third issue that the Rishonim raise. And that's about a mysterious riff. And let's enter into the world of the riff by first asking ourselves a separate question, which is, when does this come up in Lamaisa? They're like funny cases. Or draining us, lying a swamp on fire to drain it, and then there, the poor grasshoppers got caught what would Peter say? It doesn't seem so lamaisa. So I don't know. I don't share a oven. I left my food in the back of the oven, and then the Nachi comes by and he lights the fire. So I would highlight two cases, there may be others, but I highlight two cases in which this is going to come up. When you have a Nachri is lighting a fire that gets used for Bishul, but he didn't light the fire l'shem Bishul. When would this come up? So one is something that's not relevant, I think, to Zman Hazeh, maybe in our grandparents or great-grandparents' era. I remember members of my grandparents' generation. They want to heat up the house, or at least the kitchen, so they don't think this is particularly safe. They turned on the oven and left the door open. That warmed up the kitchen. That was a minig that had some currency many, many decades ago. I don't recommend it. I don't think it's safe. And I haven't seen anyone do it in many, many years. But that would be an example where you have the Nachri. If a Nachri did that, so he turned on an oven, shalol l'shem bishul. He wasn't trying to cook anything. He was trying to warm up the room. That's an example of lighting an oven, shalol l'shem bishul. If I had already left raw potato wrapped in foil in the back of the oven, and at some point I wanted to bake that potato, so I wasn't going to turn the oven now, I just left it in the back, and the Nachri comes, didn't see the baked potato, he just opens the oven to warm up the kitchen. So that's an example. I can fish out that potato, and it's kosher because he lit the oven, but he was mevashel my potato, but shalol l'kavanas bishul. Not just lol kavanas my bishul, lol kavanas any bishul. He was just trying to warm up the room. A more practical scenario for us, I think, is the following. It's the case of the Friday afternoon electrician. What do I mean? Erev Shabbos. 2 hours before Shabbos, the power in the house goes down. Not a great situation on a whole lot of levels. What's going to be with lights? What's going to be with refrigeration? If it's in a hot season, what's going to be with air conditioning? If it's in a cold season, but you have electric heat in the house, what's going to be with heat? This is a significant problem. So you call the electrician. So there's a Hilchos Shabbos aspect to this, which is not our focus right now. Can I have a Nachri, is Amir L'Nachri Mutter in this context? Is there a valid Tzorach Himatri Amir L'Nachri? Okay. But let's not get into that. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Amir L'Nachri is an Isser. Sometimes there are Tayyim, as we began to discuss last time. But let's assume the Nachri comes enough time in Erev Shabbos, he gets it done. He shows that I explained to him, I really need him to come quickly. He comes quickly, he's in and out of my house, problem solved, before Shabbos starts. Gevalt, the power is back on. The house is functioning. The next morning, Shabbos morning, you're setting up for the Shabbos Suda, and you realize the Nachri not only turned the light, by fixing whatever needs fixing in the basement, not only did he thereby turn all the lights back on, and turn the fridge back on, and turn the AC back on, or turn the heat back on, he also turned the plata back on, he turned the urn back on, and he turned the chalupot back on. Now, the plata is not an issue, because the plata has food that's already cooked. So the fact that the Nachri relit, so to speak, the plata, that's not Bishul Akum sensitive. That's already cooked food. The fact that he turned the urn back on, again, water is Nechel Kmo Shuchai, not a Bishul Akum problem. But the chalut, so if that, what we'll get into next time, you know, starting with Sivav, this is going to be the details of, you know, what happens when the Jew put it on the fire and then the non-Jew gets involved or vice versa. Okay, so we'll have to get into the details. But let's assume that it was a while before Shabbos and the chant was really raw. It was not Kamachal Ben Drusai. The Nach, it had been on the Jew put on the fire, but no Bishul had happened yet. It was still raw. And then the Nachri came and turned the fire back on by doing the electrical work in the basement, he turned on everything, including the chalupa. So I realized Shabbos morning, gevacht, Bishul Akum. If I would have realized Erev Shabbos, if I would have realized early enough, so maybe Erev Shabbos I could have just opened, we'll get to the details going forward, I could have opened the lid and stirred it. Okay, I realized Shabbos morning, it's too late. It's all totally cooked. what's going to be. We'll get to the details again of the Sifim Vavanon. Let's make it even worse. We took the chalent off. Took the chalent off, put it down on the counter, and we're scooping chalent. Someone says, hey, 1 second. This is... Someone says, oh, we should be grateful to the electrician for the chalent. They say, 1 second. The electrician denied. He was a very sweet fellow. But then Nachri cooked my chalent, cold kulo, from beginning to end. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? So this is Lachora, a great example of he wasn't mechaber l'shem bishul, right? Because he didn't have kavana. Again, working through the first issue and the second issue, Rashi Tosis, he had no and the Rosh Ritva, he had no kavana for any bishul whatsoever. Not for bishul of the chol, not for any bishul. What did he know? He knew that there are lights. He knew that there's AC. He knew that there's a refrigerator. Maybe he even knew there's an urn. He knew that I have a plugged in chol pot. No. So there was no kavanah l'shem bishul whatsoever. We're good to go. So that's very, very significant. And it brings us to our closing issue in the last couple of minutes. There is an interesting and difficult riff. The Gemara, the riff has a diet that the Rishonim or many Rishonim are unhappy with. There's one word. In the last case, within this sugya, Ravina says, Hilkach hay akum deshad asichta latuna. The Nachri throws a peg into the kiln, into the oven. The Kara by Yisrael, Kra me Kara. The Jew had already put his vegetable in the back of the oven. It's mutter. Why me Kara? What may Kara? Just say it. The Jew, what's before or after? So the Ram says, look, I'll be passionate. The Jew puts it in after, so of course it's kosher. If the non-Jew lights the oven and puts his peg in, and then the Jew puts his food in, that's Bishul Yisrael. So Ron says, oh, but if the Jew put it in earlier, that's going to be a potentially Bishul Akum problem. I put my food on a cold stovetop, and the Nachri lights the fire, it's his Bishul. Oh, but here it's Mutter because he didn't have Kavan. So that's the Pashtus of the word Meikara. If it wouldn't be Meikara, of course it would be Mutter because it's Bishul Yisrael. The Rif, though, says the opposite. Meikara is Mutter, but Levasov, it's Aser. The Jew put it in afterwards, then it's a Bishul Akum problem. So the Ron says, what on earth? How do you make sense of this? The Ron says he thinks we have to reject the Rif. The Rosh, though, already a generation or two earlier, the Rosh has a very, very... The Rosh has a careful defense of the Rif. He says, what does Meikara mean? What did the Nachri do? The Nachri hidlik esatan, or he lit the fire, and then shada sechta, then he put the peg in. Maybe, or maybe not. Maybe shada sechta, he put the peg in first and he lit the fire. So the Rosh says, no. It's the Rosh says what the Rif is thinking about is firstly, it's Shada Sifto. He put the peg in, and then the Nachri was Hidluk, right? And the Gemara is making the point that the Yisrael had already put the Kra in. Meikara. Meikara means before the Nachri even put his sifta in. As opposed to what? Not as opposed to put it in after the Nachri lights the fire. The Rosh says, yeah, of course, the Ron is right. Of course it's mutter. Why did the Rif say it's aser? It's aser if he puts it in over here. The Rif says, what the Rif meant to say is if the Nachri put his sifta in and before he lights the fire, the Jew comes by and sticks his vegetable in, oh, that's a problem. That's a problem. Why is that a problem? So the Rosh explains, because that if the non-Jew is very busy with the oven, he already put a sicht in, he hasn't lit the fire yet, then the Jew comes by and puts his item in. So then the problem is, then the Nachri knows. He's lighting the fire for his sicht, but he knows that you have a vegetable in there. Maybe he's mechavim for your vegetable too. That's what the Rif says it's a problem. Now, how do we paskin? So this is a little sticky. The Beis Yosef is not happy with the Rush. Joseph Karn, the Beis Yosef, says, the Rush had a pshat, but the Ran doesn't like it. No. On the other hand, the language Shulchan Aruch does sound like the Rush. Afa pishlo kiven labzeh basar sharei lo yadabo. Here the Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's saying that the non-Jew doesn't know about it. If he knew about it, it would be. That would be considered niskaven. At the end, the point we're talking about when it's aser, but it's not clear where the Shulchan Aruch stands. The Taz in Sifkatan Hey points out the Rush is very difficult. You know why the Rush is difficult? He says, because how do you know that he has kavana? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Okay. And the Taz says, we'll get to it. Sif Yud Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah both paskin Safik Bishalakim Lahakil, because this is Safik Draban Lahakil. So if you're not sure whether the Nachar is Machavin Labishal or not Machavin Labishal, why not say Safik Lahakil? So why is the Rush saying, well, since the non-Jew, he's lighting the fire Shlomo Shem Bishal, he's lighting the fire for his Sichta, but if he knows about your food, maybe he's Machavin for your food too. So Taz says, why not say, maybe not? So Taz says, okay, Taz says, well, on the other hand, okay, it's not an even suffix. He knows about your food. Maybe it's a rove that he has in mind. It's matzoi. Lehalacha, the Pri Chadash and the Pri Chadash in the back, quoted also by the Aruch HaShulchan, they assume that you take a middle position here. That although in the Beis Yosef he wasn't happy with this, but he says, look, if you have a rush, we should be machmer unless it's a hefsid meruba. If it's mamish, a lot of food, so then you're not mechuyev to machmer for the rush if it's going to be a big loss. And may post some often will point out the big loss also, let's see, you have archim, so you have the chalant, let's talk about our chalant. So, if the electrician doesn't know anything about Chalant, Christopher, the friendly non-Jewish electrician, if he doesn't know anything about Chalant, so he, Mamish, has no kavana for the Chalant whatsoever. That's for sure, Lonus Kavana Nachil Bishal. Now, if he knows about the Chalant, maybe you even explained to him, we have lights, and we have the refrigerator, and we have food in the slow cooker, maybe he's even come by. He's a Nachri who's familiar with Jewish practice, and he's enjoyed your Chalant in the past, he knows all about the Chalant. So then, that now we're ready in this third issue. We said issue number one, Rishonim, is the question of the Rashi and Tosfos, how does it fit with Shabbos? Issue number two was the Rashi of the Ritva, it has to be L'shem Bishul, but not Dafik L'shem your Bishul. Issue number three is this Rif, the Rush versus the Ran, if the Nachri has a different Kavana, but he knows about your food, Yoda Bo HaNachri. So if he knows about your Chalin, so then that's going to be a Machalikas Rush Ran. And Talacha Lamaisa, so I think we do follow the Pri Chadash and Aruch HaShulchan. They were machmer for the Rosh unless the Hefsid Meruba. What does that mean practically? So if you don't really have a lot of food and you really rely on it, without the challenge, you don't have much for the Shabbos Suda, particularly if you have Aruchim coming. So then that's the equivalent of Hefsid Meruba. Then you can rely on the Ram. That the Yad Abo HaNachri doesn't really matter. His kavana was, he told him, for the lights, for the AC. But if it's not, it would be nice to have chalent too, but there's plenty of extra food to go around, even with all the guests, so then Lachar, we would not eat the chalent, we would be machmer for the rush. That Yad Abo HaNachri is already a Safik Niskavan HaNachri Labishal, and we would treat that as a Bishalakim problem. Shkai Chaybrah.